Okay, right. Before I actually talk, I want to do a song. I wasn't going to do this. Well, I sort of had it half in mind. No, don't worry, I'm not going to do loads of singing. It's not that. You're going to sing. So the actual sermon today is the last in the series of four on Shabbat, so on Sabbath. And so I've got like a bit of an overview, really, of some of the where we've been already, you know, and then kind of talk about the worship element of it. Okay, now when I go to Germany, to Sue's, they regularly do Shabbat in community. They regularly have a Sabbath meal on a Friday night together as community, and they do like a, what do you call it, Jacob's Joint type thing, where you bring your coleslaw and everybody brings coleslaw, and then you've just got a plate of coleslaw, you know. That everybody brings something, and then they go through a kind of, like a liturgy really, but they kind of go through certain Bible verses together and celebrate together and share wine together and pray together. And but part of it is partway through the meal, then on the next day, then people, they rest from their work and they go and do things, connect with family or spend time on their own or do whatever they do. But they do a little song. Now, you might have heard it before, but I really like it. And everybody looks forward to it. The kids love it as well, and the kids look forward to it. And it involves banging on the table, and that always is good. So we haven't got any tables, but you can bang on a chair if you want, or you can stamp your feet, or you can just sit there in silence and not join in. That's fine. Okay. But it just goes. It's super easy. It goes, you might know it, the Shabbat Shalom. Yeah. It goes, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. And then you go, Shalom. Like that at the end. Okay, so, but you can stamp your feet if you want. So, you can, whatever. Anyway, you can stand up, you can sit down, you can do what you like. Do you want to join in? Yeah? Okay. So, Shabbat, the two words, Shabbat, Shalom, which we know is peace, but it's more than peace, isn't it? It's wholeness. It's about completeness. It's about it's finished. It's about it's done. It's about rest. You know? It's like, so the whole thing is in two words, okay? And it's just meant to be a bit of fun. Are ready? One, two, three, four. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, Shabbat. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Okay. So that gives you the idea that Shabbat is a celebration. Yeah? Shabbat is a celebration. So everything that we've been talking about is all in this context of celebration. Okay, so we're going to be exploring that invitation of God. Okay, so the series has been so far to Shabbat is stop, rest, delight, and worship. And today's is worship. But really, the idea of worship is kind of like woven in to the whole thing. So, and Andrew's already said this, that the word Shabbat, Sabbath, means stop. But it also contains the idea of delight. That's held within that word, delight. So we've looked at how God built Sabbath into the order of creation in Genesis 2. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He rested from his labor, not because he was tired, but because it was complete. And I used to think that. I used to think, well, it must be very tiring to do all that creating. You need a lie down after that, wouldn't you? Well, that's not why he stopped. And there's a sense here of delight, satisfaction. That's the kind of rest. So I don't need to do any more there. That's good enough. He said more than that, didn't he? He said, that's good. And when he made us, he said, that's very good. So at each point, it was a moment of satisfaction. And then the seventh era, period of time or whatever, the seventh day, seven is often used to mean completeness, isn't it, in the Bible? You know, six is the number of man, and seven is the number of God, complete. So, on the seventh day, God's presence fills the whole of creation, and it's like God sits down on the throne and says, now, not that he wasn't ruling before, but I rest and rule, is what he's saying. In Exodus 20, read the fourth commandment to the Israelites was to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it set apart, to keep it holy, to keep it set apart, that no one should labor on that day. Now, it reminded them who they were. Okay, I'm just going to read that. It says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. Your God. A Sabbath to the Lord, your God. It reminded them who they were and whose they were, that they were God's people. It also reminded them who they trusted. They didn't trust in other gods. They trusted the Lord, Yahweh. And they didn't depend on anyone except him. They didn't depend on the sun god. They didn't depend on the river gods of Egypt. They didn't depend on the gods in Babylon. They didn't depend on other rulers. They depended on the Lord. It reminded them that they were no longer slaves in Egypt or slaves to its gods. So there's a lesson there for us in that, isn't there? Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says, also, God says, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them, sets them apart. It's a reminder, and it's really important to the Lord that the people of Israel keep Sabbath, and that he's upset when they don't keep Sabbath, because it's like they're saying, well, you don't matter anymore. You know, these other gods will do. You know, you're not that important to us. That's really what they were saying, dismissing him. So it was important that the Israelites observed the Sabbath when in exile. And I wonder if you can see any similarities here between us and them. They were in a strange land with different gods. They were gods of desire and dissatisfaction, amongst others. In Isaiah 58, it says, on a Sabbath, and call it a delight. That's my kind of summary of those verses from verse 13. The invitation is to feast on the Lord, to live lives which honor, exalt, and worship him. Sabbath is more than a day off. It's more than a day off. And I think sometimes, you know, we could think it's just about having a rest. It's just about having a day off. Well, you know, that's valuable to have a day off, to have a rest, to have some time off, time out. But it's more than that. It's so much more than that, the idea of Sabbath. And it's important to look at Sabbath for the Israelites and what it was saying to them in order for us in our new covenant, walk with the Lord, to receive the goodness of that Sabbath idea, concept. Now, for them, it was mandated in law. But for us, it's not mandated in law, because in really, we have received the Sabbath already. We have received our Sabbath rest. I've gone ahead about a million steps in my sermon notes. Because we've received Jesus, who is our rest. However, there is value in the time, in giving time to Sabbathing. Not to verb it. Sabbath is more than a day off. It's a mark of allegiance. You know, if we start to look at it like that, Sabbath says, this is who I belong to. So Mark spoke about it being an act of war. Well, it is, against the gods of this world that would drive you, against the slave drivers of Egypt that would drive you. It is that. But it is also this, it's like a mark of allegiance. It's not, I am saying I am his. I don't do things that way. I do things his way. Sabbath is no to worshipping the gods of this age. Sabbath is yes to dwelling with the God who dwells with us. So like in the past, there was a kind of religiousness around Sabbath, which involved a lot of no's, I think, for some people. And some people listening to this will have lived through that in church lives, where it was about attending lots of services. And I'm not saying going to services is wrong at all, but it was about attending lots of services. It was about not doing lots of certain things. There was a lot of no's attached to it. Whereas the Lord wants us to attach a lot of yeses to it, a lot of yeses to him. So Sabbath is yes to dwelling with God, the God who dwells with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Sabbath is a yes to an embrace with Jesus. Who doesn't want one of those? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. A writer called Missy Takano unpacks the connection between Shabbat and a word called Nuach. A word Nuach, which means rest in Genesis. The stopping and resting that God does in Genesis. Nuach contains the idea of resting, settling, dwelling. All those ideas are held in that word. It's not just having a rest. And then she says, this type of rest is like sitting in front of a fire with a loved one, or unpacking a suitcase to stay at a beloved grandma's house. And she says, dwelling in relational trust is at the heart of God's Sabbath. And he invites us into it. You know, we can do this every day. I mean, we do it every day, living in this trusting relationship with him. But there's something about setting apart an extended period of time, which Andrew touched on using that sort of phrasing, which allows the Holy Spirit to settle with us, to allow our spirits to be renewed. It's about creating space, renewed to connect with his presence. It allows us to re-love, re-appreciate, and refill and reorientate our lives to worship the Lord afresh. And if you find it hard, it's because it is hard to kind of change habits or to do that. You know, we find it hard to do. In Matthew 11, you know these verses really well. In verse 28, it says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. And by that, it means your whole living life. Not just like there's this part of you down here somewhere called your soul, and that bit's going to get some rest, but the rest of you is not. It's like means the whole of you. But I don't know if you realise that it's followed directly by some teaching on the Sabbath straight after those verses. And it's followed by Jesus declaring that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he does some healing and all this sort of stuff. Because Sabbath is more than a day. And all these healings that Jesus does on the Sabbath are indicative of what Sabbath is really about. It's about that word that we sang. It's about that shalom. But it speaks of the gift of wholeness and healing that relationship with Jesus brings for those that embrace the Lordship of Jesus now and for the future. Because in Hebrews it says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work or his endeavors to please God. You know, we're freed from fear of death. You know, we're freed from those fears that plague the world. That brings rest. I mean, this might be an extreme statement, but all anxieties basically are rooted in a fear of death. All anxiety, I think, is rooted in a fear of death. You might think, well, you know, I'm just worried about doing my exam. Well, yeah, but the ultimate fear is that somehow you're going to be destroyed or something or someone will be destroyed. It's like anxiety is rooted in fear of death, really. So what's the antidote to that? Life. And who's the source of our life? The stopping and the resting of Sabbath creates the opportunity to delight in him, which Tom spoke on. To delight in what's good in God's wider creation. So we know Philippians 4 when it speaks about what's noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, and these are the things to consider. So these are the things to make sure we have in our Sabbath time. You know, it might well be you go to an art gallery because you love that, and there's beauty in that, and it does you good. But also, you know, you're giving thanks for the skill of the artist. You're giving thanks for the creativity of people in it. So Sabbath is not just an extended quiet time. You know, I think some people think that. It's like, well, you know, I just need to pray more. I need to, you know, listen to more worship songs. I need to, you know, have more of an extended quiet time. And the word Eden, back in the beginning, means delight. You know, it's like this pleasant land, a land of delight. And it's like his presence reconnects us with Eden, with the garden in Eden, more specifically. Because it's where he dwells with us, you know. But then there's a response, you know, when we start to refill and renew and all those sorts of things in him, allow our spirits to breathe, not be driven, that the response comes. And the response is a worshipful response. It's recognizing who is the source of beauty, who is the source of goodness, who is the one to be exalted. How you worship can look lots of different things. It may well be that you get out the bongos and off you go, or the guitar. It may well be that. But it may well be that you just can't, you know, just go around saying, you're great, God. Or just thinking it. But you're worshiping him. Our worship is the turning of our affections towards him, recognizing that there's only one Lord, one source of goodness, one King, one Father, one Saviour. There's only one who's worthy of worship. And the Greek, one of the Greek words used for worship, proskuneion, I think it is to move towards as if to kiss. Now, there's all kinds of different kisses, aren't there? But this is like a kiss of like loyalty and devotion. And do you remember the woman who poured out the perfume on Jesus' feet and wouldn't stop doing what? To his feet, kissing them. I mean, we go, oh, kissing feet. They did have perfume on them, so I suppose that helped. But that kissing and kissing and kissing and kissing his feet. And you think, well, there must have been something pretty amazing about him to make her want to do that. It's like, but I think she just saw him. She just saw him. His beauty, his kindness, his generosity of spirit to her, who he was, just that, the goodness of God that we've been singing about, she just felt, knew, saw his goodness. And it's like, oh, you're so good. It's like, where have we lost sight of that? Have we lost sight of that? I think we have sometimes. And he wants us to capture hold of him again, to see him, that we would be moved to worship. It shouldn't be hard work to worship. We all know there's times when it is. You can be, and it's a decision and all that sort of thing. But I don't think that's the norm for Christian living. You know, I think because it's out of relationship, our worship flows. But if we're rushing on or doing, you know, filling our lives with stuff like we were saying before and just other thoughts, other things that are going to satisfy, we're not going to see him, are we? So that's why we have to stop and do these things. So are we willing to wrestle our heart back from all that has dulled it? From the beauty, the awesome beauty of our beloved Lord, Heavenly Father, brother, friend, companion, lion, lamb, king. What does he say to us? Come to me. Come to me. And Sabbath says yes. I'm done. Shall we just pray? Lord, we want to say, awake my soul. Awake my soul. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my ears. Teach each of us, Lord, what it means to Sabbath, this choice to set some time apart. We know we can do this on a daily basis, but for some extended period of time, teach us perhaps how to Sabbath, what it looks like in our life, that we would be caught up, not just emotionally, but caught up in a vision of who you are. To see and understand your relationship with us, to enjoy our relationship with you, Lord, more. That we would trust you more. As we see this goodness, you know, when you were transfigured and you shone, mean, yes, obviously it was a bright light, but there must have, you can't see something like that and not feel something at the same time. And so your purity, your holiness, your goodness, it's your goodness which makes you holy, because it says there is no other person who is good. You define goodness, Lord. We want to know your goodness. Let us not be distracted by lies which would cast aspersions on your character and say that you're something other than who you are. Because we want to be those people who know you. Because you say, Lord, there'll be others who come along and say that there's something to do with you. But we don't want to be deceived, because we want to be those who know you, like the genuine £20 note. You know, no, okay, no, that's not from God, because I know him. This is what he's like. We want to be those who discern you, who see you, who know you. So teach us, Lord, about this stuff, that we can live in your fullness, Lord, the fullness of knowing you. And we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.